parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be picking away. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only we talking the truth, only we talking the truth, ayy.
It's Taz and the Moose with you here on this Friday morning. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Who understands that it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Mike, Pete, across the way. Andrew with your updates. To 9 a.m. Eastern time we go. We got college picks coming your way later on this hour. NFL picks coming up in hour number three as we run around the National Football League, Taz, and kick it off the program here, and kick it off hour number two, I should say, here. You know, you look at it, interesting slate when you look at the National Football League this week. I think a couple of games probably highlighted. When you look at Browns and Niners, that's coming your way on Monday night. When you look at the Packers on the road in Dallas taking on the Cowboys, a Cowboy team offensively looking to get healthy and into a rhythm following their loss last Sunday night, down in New Orleans against the Saints.
Right.
I think those are probably the top two games that I would say when I look at the slate that I'm probably the most intrigued by. That Packers-Cowboys game, whenever those two teams hit the field together, to me it always draws interest.
No doubt. No, I agree with that. Definitely. The Packers-Cowboys game, for sure. I'm trying to see, taking a look here. I'm wondering if how... the Falcons have been a shocker this year. I mean,
they've been terrible. I was dead wrong on them. They're 1-3. Quinn's
going
to get fired.
You and everybody else were wrong. I mean, nobody expected this, right?
Not to be this bad.
Julio Jones in the last game. I mean, Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, last game he played. I mean, just like they're 1-3.
Yeah, 1-3, bad. And now they go on the road in Houston against the Texans.
Correct.
You know, you look at it, number one is, I saw yesterday, because we talked about earlier in the week, Roquan Smith with the Chicago Bears, as they're on the road, as both teams are on the road. They're in London. A game will kick off at 1. Next week, remember, there's going to be a triple header, a quadruple header. Games will get going at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time.
Great.
So I think it's week 6 and week 8, I believe. There's a 9:30 in the morning Eastern time, 6:30 out west. So, but this week the game's at 1 o'clock, Taz, as the Bears are and the Raiders are playing it over in London, England. And Roquan Smith addressed the media, said, it was a personal issue, was asked. I saw him in the Bears locker room out in Chicago.
Right.
And he said basically it was a personal issue, would not address it, would not give any more of a description to it, said it's behind him. He's moving forward, asked if he was going to be playing this Sunday. He says, yes, I will be on the field playing this Sunday.
Yeah.
So nothing's come out. I have not seen anything in terms of what it potentially could have been. I don't know. But he said it was a personal issue, was even asked to elaborate on it. Someone peppered him with, was it family? Was it this? Was it that? He goes, it was a personal issue.
Yeah.
Well, so it's behind me.
It's obviously they're vaulting this. So, no one's going to know what it is. And, and it's going to, as you know how this goes. It's going to die out. By Monday, no one's going to, once he plays in London against, against the Raiders and he plays really well, makes a bunch of tackles or maybe has an interception or fumble recovery. No one's even going to talk about it. They're going to move on.
No, you're right. And that's fine. I guess it was just kind of surprising, jarring at the time when a guy that you were not expecting, who we did not talk about all last week about potentially missing the game, and all of a sudden, 20 minutes before the game, he's scratched from the game. Mm. It's a personal issue, and you're saying, what the hell's going on with Roquan Smith? So it looks like it's just going to be a one-week thing, and he'll be back on the field this week. To the Jets we go. How about Sam Darnold, who gave you the great quote the other day, the spleen's going to do what the spleen's going to do, as he's recovering from mono, back on the field, non-contact for Sam Darnold. The Jets, their doctors, and Darnold, I think, are going to provide some sort of an update today. He's been throwing the football, Taz. He's been back at practice. Jamal Adams said the other day that he looked great in practice. So the ball's coming out of his hands well. The Jets are hopeful he can play on the road in Philadelphia against the Eagles, but it all comes down to where that spleen is and whether or not it's still swollen.
Yeah, I mean, it's like nothing you could do with that. I mean, there's nothing you could do with it. You just have to wait until that inflammation goes down, and you hope the antibiotics could just get all of the infection out, because it's an infection for mostly what it inflames. You know?
Sure. Well, the question
dangerous, you know?
It is dangerous. The question I had for you, Taz, is this: say today the swelling's down and he gets better, would you be nervous about playing him this week?
Yeah, I would. I could tell you as a dad, when my son had to play after having that, play lacrosse, I was really, and my wife and I were both very nervous.
For sure.
We didn't tell him, but yeah.
You play him? I mean, I guess.
Would I play? Well,
yeah, I mean, I'm nervous, a little bad word I use. Would you play him?
I thought you meant for like his safety.
No, not, if you were the Jets, would you play him? I mean, the season, you know, you're trying to get yourself back to some sort of relevancy. You've got Luke Falk at quarterback.
You
got
to play.
Simeon looked terrible.
I
agree with you. If he's medically cleared, I would play him. I would have no issue with playing him. Now, he's got to be medically cleared, you know, because there's been some debate. Well, once he gets medically cleared, maybe you wait a week, you know, and give him a little bit of extra time here, Taz, to, you know, you would imagine that he's lost a little bit of weight, right? He's not been able to take a hit, right? He's not lifting weights. All he's doing is throwing the ball at practice, non-contact. You can't touch him. So he's going through all those pre-week or pre-game rituals over the course of practice during the course of the week. There's an argument to be made saying, you know what, why don't we give him – he's so important to our franchise. Why run the risk?
Right.
Give him another week to really get right.
Right.
And then hopefully he hits the ground running. Why put him out there when he has missed 3 weeks of football?
Yeah. I understand that, but the answer to that, in my opinion, is if you're the New York Jets, you're 0-3. You do not want to be in a deeper hole, you know. And this guy's gonna, you know what I mean? He's gonna prevent you from being in that deeper hole.
No, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. But I guess I look at the Jets, Taz, where
Dunsky.
Yeah,
I see. I see what you're saying. You feel like, why, you know.
Well, I look at it, I'm playing the long game.
Right.
You know,
I got you.
You know, I'm looking at what Darnold, he's only in his second year.
Yeah, he's a
young
guy,
looking at
yeah.
what Darnold means for my franchise long term over the next 10 years. You know, not necessarily just what he means. I agree with you, he's going to give you a better chance to win the game than Luke Falk will. They didn't generate a third down conversion against the New England Patriots. I don't disagree with you there, but I guess I'm looking at big picture. I need Sam Darnold to me. I don't want anything. Heaven forbid something should ever happen. I don't want, heaven forbid, to even be in the equation.
The equation, right.
I want to take that out as a possibility.
And
not that he can't get hurt any other week, but I just want to make sure he's free and clear of this. That's all.
And to your point, I mean, you got to really look at the schedule, too. I mean, they're hosting the Eagles, then they got the Cowboys. I'm sorry, they're at the Eagles, then they're hosting the Cowboys, and then they're hosting the freaking Patriots.
Yes.
So, especially the Dallas and that New England team, man, both those two teams, wow. So, yeah, you want them, if you're going to, they ain't going anywhere. They're done.
We'll see.
Sorry, Pete.
I mean, and if you're a Sam Darnold fan, if you're a USC fan or you're a Jet fan, they will provide some sort of an update later on today in terms of his availability. The Jets are holding out hope that he'll be available. Are you a believer in the Steelers? And what I mean by that is, do you think Pittsburgh, with the way they took care of business against Cincinnati, you know, you need one of those games, right? Like the game that Michigan had against Rutgers, right? They needed kind of that get healthy game,
right?
Everything clicks. You build a little bit of confidence. The Steelers came back home, took care of the Bengals. They ran the ball well. Rudolph threw the ball well. Receivers making plays. Now they're back home. They're taking on a Raven team, Taz. That's hit the skids a little bit. They've lost two in a row. They lost on the road in Kansas City, and then last week got lit up at home by Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. The Pittsburgh Steelers are just one game out of the divisional lead in that NFC North. Rudolph played much better this past week than he did the previous week in San Francisco against the 49ers. Do you believe the Steelers showed you enough against Cincinnati to where now they can beat the Ravens and Lamar Jackson at home?
No, I don't. They're a home dog for a reason, the Steelers. They're plus 3.5. I don't think. I mean, and I like Mason Rudolph. I do. And I like Connor running the ball, too. And I like Juju. I like their weapons. But I just like the Ravens better. I don't think there's enough there to even though they're home, and I know they're tough at Heinz Field. I get it. I understand that, and I know how that fan base is. But I just feel like Lamar Jackson is going to turn up, you know, in this game on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, one thing, I think Rudolph's going to have a good game throwing it. I don't know if it's going to be enough because I agree with you. I think Lamar Jackson, but I do think in that Ravens defense, as we've discussed, Taz, and we're kind of ahead of curve here on Taz the Moose with that before kind of the rest of the country caught up. That Ravens defense is not what it once was.
No.
Neither is
no.
the coverage in the secondary. No. They don't go after the quarterback, and there's coverage breakdowns left and right. I think it could be a field goal game either way. I would not be surprised if Pittsburgh beat Baltimore this week. I don't think it's going to, you know, I would not be surprised by that. I don't know if I'd necessarily pick it. But I think Pittsburgh maybe found a little bit of mojo here with Mason Rudolph. I'll tell you this about Rudolph. That offensive line, Taz, they love him. Because they showed a video after he threw one of his touchdown passes, and he went back to that offensive line, and each and every one of them was basically bear-hugging him.
Yeah,
they do like that young man.
Seems like a likable kid. It's kind of like he's like their Mikey B. Like,
yes.
Mikey B's so likable here. We all hug him all the time. It's like that. That's how Mason Rudolph is in the offensive huddle for the Steelers. Now, okay, aside, listen, I like him too. I think the kid's a real good player. Like I said, I don't know why I go on instinct sometimes, like my gut.
Yeah.
I just feel like LJ, as I call him, Lamar Jackson, is going to have just a game. I just really do. But you might differ.
We might be right. Yeah. And I'm not saying that he's not going to have success throwing it. I just think it could be a very, very close game down
without
the stretch.
Without you exposing your picks or anything right
I'm
now.
I'm not picking that game.
All right.
If that's the question you're going to ask.
It's the answer.
No, I'm not going to pick that game. I'm not. I said I wasn't going to pick it. It's not one that I would pick. I wouldn't put money down on it.
I meant on our show.
No.
No pick on our show.
No, usually games I pick, well, not all of them. I don't play all of them. But there are games that I do love.
Well, I assume that when you pick here, we're having fun. It's
yes.
for our audience. We try to take care of the audience. But then I feel like maybe sometimes when you're outside of here, you pick differently. Let's put it that way.
I don't go against my picks that I make here.
Oh, yeah, no. I wouldn't expect you to do that.
I don't say, hey, I love the Steelers this week and then run to the sports book and put everything on the Ravens.
That would be fun.
That'd be bizarre.
It'd
be a little strange. I don't do that. No, I kind of try and pinpoint two or three games a week.
Oh.
That I like. Because, Taz, think about this. I'm trying to, we're trying to both pick winners every week.
Of course.
It's hard to pick winners in the NFL. Then when you put, so then in essence, say I play three games outside of the three picks I make here. That means I'm trying to go 6-0 in a given week in the NFL. That's difficult to do.
Yeah.
You got to be a very good handicap. I mean, even the best of handicappers aren't going 6-0. That's pretty tough to do.
No, well.
But I do play some of them. I don't play.
Well, no, because you'll get into
to bet, yes.
You'll get into it later, but you definitely, you're struggling NFL-wise on this show. But college-wise, man, you talk about handicapping.
Well, I rallied last week.
Well, you sure did.
I need a good week, and last week I had a good week, so I was happy about that. Yeah. They usually follow that up with a nice offer. So look forward to the Saturday. Make sure you avoid all my picks. All right, the Titans and Bills down in Tennessee. Still no word yet on Josh Allen, Taz, right?
Yeah, he's
in the concussion protocol.
So, yeah.
Matt Barkley's taking the reps with the first-team offense after that brutal hit that he suffered last week in that Patriot game. And that's why, if you look at this line and say, how the hell are the Titans a 3-point favorite at home? Well, the reason why they're a 3-point favorite at home, even as poorly as they played, is because Josh Allen right now, it is questionable whether or not he's going to give it a go. He's in that concussion protocol.
Right.
It's not his decision, obviously.
No,
it's whether or not he's cleared.
And what's been happening, too, with the Bills, like he has been, like you mentioned, Sam Darnold, he's been practicing. You know, not hitting, obviously, but he's been making throws. He's been doing this whole thing, going through all his progressions on the field and the offensive scheme. He's been practicing there, and what I'm hearing down there is like it's like everything out there, up there, I should say, everything he's doing, it's just like business as usual, except for the hitting part, except for wearing full gear. So he's throwing the football around and stuff like that, and he looks pretty good. So I'm assuming he's going to get cleared. I mean, I hope so as a fan of the Bills, but otherwise we're in trouble.
Yeah, well, that would be tough. Barkley on the road in Tennessee. That would be
McDermott
a tough
was
one
saying, well, listen, Barkley's good. Coach, he's okay as a backup for a play or two. He's not good enough to be your starter. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a backup on his team right now.
Yeah.
So, I like McDermott. I love him. Don't get me wrong. But, come on.
What do you want him to say?
I know. You can't bury the kid. I know that.
Hey, what do you think about Barkley? We're in trouble.
Yeah, we're deep trouble, man. We really need Josh back.
That would be funny, though. That would be funny. I agree with you. I mean, boy, he's giving you the coach spiel. All hands on deck.
Yeah.
We'll pick each other up. Barkley could get the job done. He's trying to inspire and instill a little confidence in him. Even though he probably is not believing what he's saying, that's what McDermott's doing.
No, I know you're right. And like I said last week, though, Barkley did make a couple of throws where Bills receivers from Zay Jones just dropping balls against the pass. There were a couple opportunities. That guy should have caught balls, and it didn't happen.
It did not. And they had every opportunity to come away with a victory last week. Unfortunately, fell short.
Gotten over that, you know.
I know.
Still having a problem.
I get it. Well, can enact a little revenge this time in Foxborough later on.
I hope so.
And beat the Pats.
Awesome.
If you had Mike Nugent in your lottery in terms of being the next Patriots kicker, you won, whatever the odds were. Mike Nugent is called off the deck at a semi-retirement, I believe. Now he's the new kicker for the New England Patriots, as Steven Gostkowski's done for the year. He's got hip surgery. Listen, it's not going to come down to a kick Sunday down in our nation's capital, as they are a healthy 15.5-point favorite against the Washington Redskins, Taz. But the Pats, offensively, they went up against a very good defense last week and struggled offensively. I would imagine, as they would say in the trade, they get healthy this week down in Washington.
Yeah.
But imagine they have a good game.
That's going to be just a slaughter. I mean, the Patriots playing your team, it really, the Redskins,
they can't lose enough, I'll be honest with you. I hope they go 0-16.
It's going to be,
if you're going to be bad, be pathetically, historically bad.
I mean, a complete, what's another word for slaughter? I mean, like,
Destruction,
dismantling, just a slaughter.
That's a good word. Yeah, slaughter.
15.5 is the spread. 15.5.
I agree with you. Redskins are terrible.
You taking that game when we pick later?
I will be.
Oh, come on. You're better than that.
Why am I better than that?
It's the easy peasy ones. You can't take
I'm looking for winners here, Tad. We got a rally. All right. I'm looking for winners.
Oh, my God.
I got to find winners. You can take it, too.
No, I mean, it's like, that's a big gap. Are you taking the Jets, the Eagles, too? You taking that one?
No, I'm not going to touch
13.5.
We talked about games over 20-point spreads.
I usually don't. I go with the tighter games.
I know you do.
You know, I'm a competitor.
Here we go. Oh, here we go.
All right.
Right. I got
exactly.
you.
All right. I still have to do my picks. I haven't done them. I did my college picks. I'll do them now during the break. I work during the break. It don't matter.
No,
have one game picked. I'm on the fence with the other two. That's why.
With the college picks.
No, the NFL picks. Oh, right. College picks are out. I'll do them right now. You want to do college? I'm ready to go.
No, we're not.
We'll do it right now? No?
No, right. We're going to break.
All right.
Jesus, oh, that's what that very means. Jumpy here. Yes, we're running the music. Right. Yes, correct. Right. It's Taz. It's Moose. It's a Friday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, maggots. Rise and shine. This is Sergeant Slaughter from the WWE, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Don't touch that dial, maggots. And that's an order.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, Sunday, the NFL on CBS features a full slate of games, including Brady and the Pats on the road in Washington, the Ravens and Steelers renewing their AFC North rivalry. Check your local listings for the game in your area. It all begins with Jamie and the guys in the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS.
Maybe they'll promote us this week. I always watch to see if Boomer gives a shout. We talked about this yesterday. Maybe this week you will.
Maybe. Let's see.
Maybe not.
The Redskins, I think, have a better chance of winning. That's the way I would put it. If you believe in Washington, you believe in Boomer giving us a shout out.
What was that? What's it? Clark Kellogg. Remember that? Wasn't he supposed to give us a shout out, but he didn't.
Never did. He never did.
Yeah, Come on, man.
He placated us.
He didn't give us it.
He placated us. He did. Of course, yeah. They got off the phone. Who's that?
Who? What?
Next question.
Yeah, he didn't do it. No, Paul Keller. Looking forward to having him back on the show.
Come on, man.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Bogus, good morning.
Moose, Taz, Al, good morning.
So Bogus complaining about doing his job before we get on the air.
Don't get me started.
Don't say it.
This is off the air.
This is off the air, Compa.
But he's still, Moose, you heard him. He was complaining about doing his job. And not about this job he does on the air, which is spectacular. We know that. Not about that.
Don't butter me
up. But there were other something else in the job description. Moose, you heard him. He was whining and crying like a little punk. Be like, a man!
Like everybody else.
But I took care of my business early, Moose. You know that. I did it.
Yeah. You got a guy. We got to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah. And some of us are here past 9:02 most mornings.
Oh,
so.
This is
Andrew Bogus.
Right. Well, I don't know if Andrew heard that. You fired out a complaint yesterday.
Wait a minute. I missed.
What? Yes. Off the air, not on the air.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll tell him off the air. Yeah,
yes.
That's true. Yes. Was it funny, do you think? It was a funny complaint, right?
No, it was funny, but it was a similar complaint.
Well, yeah, it's so hard because this discussion, we can't.
Focus, what's going on in sports?
That's a good question, Moose. You guys laid this out last hour. Who knows how the seventh inning would have played out had Ronald Acuna Jr. been on second base instead of first. But no matter what, the Braves stud outfielder again got caught admiring a drive, ending up only with a single. Manager Brian Snitker already benched him once during the season for this.
So he should have been on second. And we're kind of shorthanded to do anything about it right there. You hate to see that happen.
So not only is this a playoff game, but Snitker didn't have a full bench either at that point yesterday to pull Acuna. The Braves' lead stayed 3-1 entering the eighth inning. Then the Cardinals scored twice. Then they kept going in the ninth inning.
The pitch for Wong, and he swings and grounds it. Fair pass first. That's going to score two more at least. Here comes Molina. They stop him at third. And the Cardinals have taken a 7-3 lead now. Wow, this is a big inning.
Now, see,
how old is Mike Shannon?
Yes. Wow. Taz is laughing. I want to laugh as well. I wanted to play a highlight from that game. The other two-run double in the ninth inning was a worse call.
Did I do something wrong? Was I mean now?
Well, it's just because Mike Shannon's like 97 years old, and that's why he sounds like that.
Then
we have to suffer.
Yeah, but look. He should not be working still.
I don't disagree with you.
Is he really that old of a man?
He's old.
Not 97. No, he's not that old.
But he's not.
He's up there in age.
45 yeah. either.
If you're 100 years old and you're calling games, it's a little old.
He's 80.
He's 80. He's yeah. 80.
Oh, he's a kid.
He's 80 years old. Does he still 80. Have a steakhouse out there in St. Louis?
Oh, you're asking the wrong guy.
Shannon's? I don't know if that's still.
Mike goes back to the Google machine.
No, it's our restaurant research team, Andrew Wise ass.
I don't know.
That's what it is.
Mike's the.
Right. Mike's doing
I just
something.
See Mike's fingers down. Furiously yes, typing in Mike Shannon Steakhouse.
Here comes a.
It wasn't a clean call. It wasn't a clean call.
I closed a couple of years back.
Oh, Shannon's.
He was also too old.
It was a landmark for 30 years.
30 years, Shannon's was open. All right.
Molina, they stop him at third.
All right.
He had a great run.
I know I'm mean. I sound mean. And I actually love everyone in this world. Young people, old people, middle-aged, medium people.
Right. Male, female.
It was a bad call.
I love everybody. Yeah. But to me, I find humor in things like that.
It was a bad call.
I don't know how old. He was a bad call. I don't know how old the man is. He said, I don't know. But just to me, it's funny.
Dude, to Sterling
you can
all
tell
the time.
By his voice. He's not
Sterling,
40 years old.
Sterling. What do I do with Sterling? I just make comments about
him. No, in general.
Oh, yeah. He's not 80, though.
He's 79. Right. He is 80. I think he just turned 80.
He just turned 80 on July 4th.
Really?
Which is why it's remarkable that he sounds as good as he does.
Well, Sterling's 10 times better than this guy from St. Louis with the steakhouse.
81 for Sterling.
81?
Wow, he's older.
There you go.
I'm going to rip him more now.
These whippersnappers. So Colton Wong, Marcelo Zuna, two-run doubles, top nine. That made it 7-3 Cardinals. Acuna and Freddie Freeman homer to the bottom of the ninth. But the Braves lose 7-6 in Game 1 in Atlanta. No drama in Game 1 at Dodger Stadium. The home team 6, the Nationals nothing. 6 scoreless innings from Walker Buehler, 3 RBI from Max Muncy. Today's schedule begins with the Astros-Rays opener at 1 Central, then the Braves and Cardinals, then the Yankees and Twins, then the Nationals and the Dodgers. To Seattle and a masterclass in QBing from Russell Wilson.
Here comes the rush. Russell steps up. Russell scrambles. Looks wide open. Chris Carson catches it twice. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio. Chris Carson wide open in the front corner of the end zone, juggling the go-ahead TD catch with 2:28 left on Thursday Night Football. Four touchdown passes from Wilson, but his team only won 30-29 when Rams kicker Greg Zuerlein missed from 44 yards out with 11 seconds to go. Giants running back Saquon Stephen Barkley again on the field in pads, running and cutting before practice yesterday. Barkley still not officially ruled out for Sunday's visit from the Vikings. He suffered a high ankle sprain just two Sundays ago. Meanwhile, Minnesota wideout Stephon Diggs said yesterday, there's truth in all rumors. He didn't ask the Vikings for a trade, but couldn't speak for his agent. Head coach Mike Zimmer hasn't said if Diggs will play this weekend, but he did practice yesterday after skipping Wednesday. College football, Temple a 27-17 win at East Carolina. And on the second night of the NHL season, the Sabres won in Pittsburgh 3-1. The Rangers outscored the Jets 6-4. Artemi Panarin a power play goal in his Rangers debut. And that's career win number 450 for Henrik Lundqvist. Guys?
Before you leave, Andrew, I'd like you to be part of this. I have a question because Moose is a Yankee fan, so we don't...
Is he?
We need his opinion, but, it's just more...
Way to minimize me. So,
It's not about the Yankees. It's not minimizing you.
Yes. Go. What are we talking about? The Mets.
I'm talking about Mickey Callaway getting fired.
Yeah.
I want to talk to fellow Met fans on the radio.
Okay.
And that's Mike... That's Pete. That's Andrew. That's everyone except you. That's why it's not minimalizing you.
All right, no, what about Callaway?
I'm asking Andrew, is he happy about that he's not the skipper of the Mets anymore or not? That's why I wanted to ask a fellow Met fan.
I got it. I heard you.
Okay, go ahead, Andrew.
I'm relieved he is not the Mets manager anymore.
Okay. Who would you like to be the manager?
A man who has managed before, who has done a double switch before, which seemed to have befuddled Mickey Callaway at times.
That's funny.
So if you've had a job already running a major league team, you're on my list. But in particular, obviously like Girardi, love Joe Maddon, although I think he's destined for the Angels. And I'd even take Dusty Baker at this point.
I'd like Girardi. Moose, you cover the Mets a lot. You work for SNY. For those that listen to this show, they've heard you mention this.
Yeah.
You are a Yankee fan. You're a Met hater.
No, I'm not.
You're a closet
don't
Met
hater. Don't describe me like that.
You're
don't
a closet Met hater.
I do not. I do not. Don't describe me like that.
Why?
Anyway, so.
Why? What's wrong with
that? Because it's not true. Because it's not true.
Don't be so sensitive.
I'm not being sensitive. Don't describe me like that. I'm just saying it's not true. I don't hate the Mets. Okay. The Mets have been very good to me. Fred Wilpon's been very good to me. I don't hate the Mets. Don't do that.
It's called a joke. It's morning drive radio. I'm joking.
It's not, but the point being is that it should be of no surprise that Callaway got fired.
All right.
I mean, the writing's on the wall. He was going to go. He almost got fired middle part of regular last season.
Right.
So, I mean, the fact that the word came down yesterday, I think most Met fans, I think the stunning aspect would have been if he ever came back.
Mm. Who will be, in your opinion, the Mets manager?
That's a great question. I don't know if there's a favorite right now.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think Girardi is there. I think they have interest in Buck Showalter. Joe Espada, the bench coach with the Astros. I think they like Luis Rojas as well, who's down as a part of their organization already. Those are the, Dusty Baker. I don't think Maddon. Maddon was making $6 million a year with the Chicago Cubs.
What's your take on
he's destined for the Angels?
Possibility of Carlos Beltran. What's your take on that?
I think he's got no shot.
Okay.
Apparently he doesn't want the job.
Yeah.
That's what I saw this morning.
Don't pitch him.
He doesn't want any job.
He's like me. Mike, what is your thoughts as a Met fan on the Callaway firing?
Pretty much the same as Bogus. I feel bad for the guy. He was a nice guy. It just was over his head.
He wasn't a Van, Brody guy either. You know what I mean? That's the other thing, too. What about you, Pete?
Bogus forgot the lineup card situation that Mickey did.
Yeah, 2 years ago in Cincinnati.
I forgot about that.
At least we can write a lineup card with a new manager.
All right. Fingers crossed.
It was time to go. I would hire Girardi. But my second and third would be Buck and Dusty Baker.
Yeah. I'm with
veteran guy.
Yeah, I'd like Girardi.
You need that.
Yeah. Girardi would be great.
From a Yankee fan perspective, Moose, would the Yankee fans, would they be ticked? Not ticked. if Girardi was the Mets manager, across town, Jones, all that, would that bother Yankee fans?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. I don't. I think they'd grown tired of Girardi at the end.
I think you're right about that.
So I don't think it would bother Yankee fans at all.
No, I just wanted to.
And Girardi, I think, would be great. I mean, I think Girardi would be a home run hire. I think he'd be. I think he understands New York. Hopefully, he. You know, I think his ways and his personality can wear on people over the course of time. He was very successful. He was with the Yankees for 10 years. If you're asking me of those veteran guys, I think I'd rather have Girardi more so than Buck and more so than Dusty.
I'm with you on what you just said. Does he still live in the area, do you know?
He has a house in the area. He's down in Florida because his son's a catcher. His son, they moved the family down to Florida to
for his
son. He's going to college. Okay. He's a senior in high school.
Oh, all right, gotcha.
But I know
he's got a house up here too.
I believe yes. From my understanding, is that he still has a home in the tri-state area.
It's he could not, get one if necessary too. I would think
correct. Yeah. But he still has a home here. In I think it's in Connecticut. He lives.
There are houses available,
yeah,
and he has money.
And he is fun. Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
I just meant like it was this home, Andrew. Like, is this his home?
Know,
you know, for his kid. You know, instead, you know, there's a lot of wise yeses on the show. Everybody's a tough guy here. It's unbelievable. A lot of tough guys on the show. Mike's like,
no,
me.
I'm definitely not.
That's funny.
A lot of tough guys.
Being honest.
All right. Yeah. So we'll see how long
that was
it takes
my only commentary on it. I just wanted to know. I wanted to go around the room, and I did.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Are you happy with the firing or no?
Mets are Mets. He's a nice guy. He seems like a nice guy. The team played loose under him, you know, and they were the talk of the town, man, after the All-Star break. They were doing a lot of good stuff, you know. They really were, and they played loose under him. He seems like a real players coach type guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's a terrible in-game manager.
I know. That's the problem, and you got to win games. But, you know, he could be a scapegoat in this thing, too. But at the end of the day, I'm not losing sleep over it. So I guess I don't care.
And you said you would like Girardi, too.
I would. I like Girardi.
Girardi would be
like
great. Yeah. I think it would be now the question is that where he ends up landing?
Yeah,
we'll find out and how long this does take. We've got some college picks. We got those coming your way next. It's a Friday morning. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. We got some college picks coming your way now. Last week, Taz went 1-2 a week ago. He's now 9-5-1 on the season. Had a good week last week. 3-0 last week. I'm now 9-6 on the year. Taz has got a half-game lead as we are upon week 6 of the college football landscape. So a lot to get into. Certainly we saw the struggles of Clemson last week against Carolina. Oklahoma rolled. Alabama rolled. So we'll see what exactly happens this week. Some good games that dot the slate. Let's get into it. Here are some week 6 picks.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, so it is upon us, Taz. Who do you want to go first? What do you want to do? Want me to go first? I went 3-0?
Yeah, I guess you went 3-0. You should go first. Yeah.
All right, here we go. We're going to lead in out to Columbus, Ohio, the Big Horseshoe, Ohio Stadium, Saturday night, ABC, 7:30 Eastern time is the kick. And I'm going to take the Buckeyes, you know, and they're laying 20 at home against the Spartans of Michigan State. D'Antoni's team has rallied 4-1, and they've been able to bounce back after that dastardly loss to Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. You look at Ohio State. I mean, everyone was looking at Nebraska last week, 17.5, take the Cornhuskers. And Ohio State, they just didn't beat them. I mean, they embarrassed Scott Frost and the Cornhuskers on the road in Lincoln last week. So give me the Buckeyes. They come back home. Defense is very good. I mean, you look at Ohio State, we want to look at Ryan Day and that offense and what Fields is doing at the quarterback spot and what they have along at the skill position spots. Look at what that defense is doing right now. I think they're a top five defense in the entire country, and they've clearly taken a step forward. Michigan State, I know, has battled, and these games have been close historically. I'm going to take the Buckeyes. I'm going to lay the 20. They might indeed, you know, as Aaron Murray told us earlier in the week, they might indeed be the best country pound for pound, best team in the country pound for pound right now. Buckeyes laying 20. That's pick number one for me. What says you, Taz?
We're gonna go out to West Virginia. We're gonna talk a little Texas Longhorns against Mountaineers of West Virginia. So Texas comes into this bad boy. The Horns come in ranked 11th in the country. They're 3-1. West Virginia unranked. They are 3-1. West Virginia home dog Jones. They are 10.5 home dog. I'm taking the Horns right here. I'll lay in a 10.5. The quarterback, Sammy E. Baby Ellinger, he's going to light up that West Virginia defense all day. I like Ingram running the ball really well for them also. Kendall, the quarterback for West Virginia, not having an amazing year, nothing like Sammy E. So I like the Longhorns. Lay the 10.5, take the Horns.
All right, that's pick number one for you. You like Texas laying the points against the Mountaineers of West Virginia. All right, pick number two for me. 10:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 West Coast start. We're going to go out to Stanford Stadium in Stanford, California. And it's 15th-ranked Washington. The Huskies on the road against the Stanford Cardinal. And going against Stanford has been okay for me so far this year. And I'm going to go against them again. And I'm going to lay the big number at 16.5 with the Huskies on the road. Jacob Eason has been very, very good. And if you look at this Huskies team right now, up until this stage, you know, they've handled their business pretty comfortably. They did lose to Cal second week of the year, but Hawaii, they won 52-20. At BYU on the road, 45-19. USC a week ago, they doubled them up 28-14. They go on the road this week, and they go to a place in Stanford, and I guess it's Pac-12, and I understand anything can happen when you're playing within the conference. I think Washington's just a flat-out better team, and obviously they're a 16.5-point favorite. I've got no issue with them going on the road. This is not a great Stanford team for Brian, for Shaw, for David Shaw and the boys out there in California. They're really not similar to what we've seen from the Stanford program. Good linebackers, great running game, everything and the like. Give me Washington. It's a big number. I'm going to lay the 16.5 late on Saturday night or early evening if you're on the West Coast. But give me the Huskies laying 16.5. That's pick number two for me.
All right. Well, you know, one of the better games of this weekend is basically going to be Auburn versus Florida. Both teams are 5-0. Okay. Auburn, awesome defense for sure. The Tigers defense is legit as legit can be. We had Aaron Murray yesterday talking about it on a show yesterday, breaking it down really well. That front seven, he's right, looked into it more. They are legit. The Gators are a home dog. They're +2, okay? I'll tell you what, I'm taking Auburn all day. I'm taking the Tigers in this bad boy. Bo Nix, I feel, is going to have a really good game for the Tigers. And that Tigers defense is strong. I'll take Auburn, and I'll lay the 2.
All right, so you're going to take Auburn laying the 2. That's pick 2 for you. Pick 3 for me. I'm gonna go down to Atlanta. Georgia Tech is entertaining. They're not one of the big games of the weekend, but I'm looking for a winner. I'm gonna take Carolina on the road at Georgia Tech, take it on the Yellow Jackets. Georgia Tech, it's been a struggle this year. They're 1-3 on the season. You look at Carolina, the concern I'd have about taking the Tar Heels this week is being as close as they were a week ago to pulling off the shocker of shockers, a 2-point conversion away from potentially beating the Clemson Tigers. You know, and they lose that game 21-20. Now they go on the road in Georgia Tech. I'd be a little concerned if I didn't love the head coach, and I do love the head coach. I think he's done a great job so far coming back to Carolina, and they get a soft landing spot in Georgia Tech, who's not a particularly good team. The Tar Heels have played very, very well this year. You know, I went against them the opening week when they were home against South Carolina. That bit me in the rear end, as they not only covered the spread, but they won the game outright, handing the Gamecocks a loss to begin the season. So give me North Carolina now on the road in Georgia Tech. Lay the 10.5. That's pick number 3 for me.
All right. So we got Michigan. You know, we talked a lot about Michigan this week, the Wolverines, and everything with Harbaugh and whatnot, and the pressures on them, and what's going on. They're sitting 3-1, the Wolverines. They're ranked 19th in the country. Well, they're home, and they got the Hawkeyes of Iowa coming in, who's legit. They're 4-0, the Hawkeyes. They're ranked 14th in the country. It's a tough game. It's going to be a good game, okay? I got to tell you, though, straight up, though, I'm going to take Michigan. I'm going to lay the 3.5 because Iowa's wait, where do I got here? Michigan is – I had a different line. What do you have on this game?
3.5.
My bad. So 3, yeah, I said it right first time.
Yeah.
I'm taking Michigan laying 3.5.
Correct.
Iowa is +3.5. That's what I should have said. Shea Patterson, I feel, to Bell has been a really good connection reception-wise. And I'll tell you what, I think they're gonna put up some points on this Hawkeye team. I think that Michigan will step up. Harbaugh's crew will step up in the Big House against a really tough Big Ten opponent in the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'll take Michigan. I'll lay the 3.5.
So you're going to take Michigan laying the 3.5.
Yes,
all right,
sir.
So pick. Here you go. Recapping our Week 6 picks. Ohio State for me, laying 20. Battle of two top 25 teams as the Spartans are coming to the Big Horseshoe in Columbus, Ohio. The Buckeyes laying 20. Washington on the road in Stanford. Lay the 16.5 with the Huskies. And then pick 3 for me. Give me the Tar Heels of North Carolina on the road at Georgia Tech down in Atlanta. Laying the 10.5. That's pick 3 for me.
All right, and I'm taking Texas Longhorn. I'm taking Texas laying the 10.5 over West Virginia. I'm also taking Auburn. I'm taking Auburn laying 2 over Florida. I just feel that defense is strong as heck. And I'm going to take Michigan laying 3.5 over the Hawkeyes as Michigan's home. So there's my 3 picks.
There you go. So there are your Week 6 college football picks. We got the 3 coming your way at the top of the hour, Taz. As we have here a minute, something we touched upon yesterday, because I wanted to get your thoughts on it because you know better than anybody else. But the viewership came out for Wednesday night, AEW against NXT, the two live shows, and AEW did extremely well.
Man, it really, I'll tell you, shocked. I mean, I had a feeling they were going to do pretty good, but it was really crazy. They did a more or less a 1-4, okay, where NXT, they did almost 900,000, like 890,000 people. You know, that's huge for the wrestling industry, that on the middle of the week, while people have work the next day and kids have school and all this jazz, that you have two companies that, I don't feel it's, like I said, I don't feel it's a war. Excuse me, a war. But it shows that they're going head up against each other, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, head up. One on TNT, one on USA. And then you have, a couple million people watching wrestling. It shows you how big the business has truly grown. As someone from the wrestling industry most of my adult life, it's awesome to see. It's a great time to be in the wrestling business if you are. I wish I was in my prime right now. It'd be great.
Right.
I was fortunate in my prime to be in during the Monday Night Wars. So I benefited from that. Now, these young cats today, they're benefiting from what's going on. But AEW doing that 1-4 is ultra impressive. And you got to tip your cap to AEW's front office and the EVPs and everything, because they spent a lot of money, starting with Tony Khan, spent a lot of money on promotion, marketing. TNT, their TV partner, did a great job promoting the hell out of that first episode for sure. Now we have to see if they can sustain this number. Okay, not being negative Nelly, but I do think the number will drop. A lot of that 1.4 million is a curiosity number. But, you know, history shows it'll, you know, when numbers drop, the higher your number comes in, the less it'll drop. And I think that maybe they go low ones on a consistent basis. That's great. To be in that world and beat out WWE's monster machine that they are, and they have NXT as their young hot brand for so many years, it's an amazing win. And then to top it all off, WWE puts out a statement congratulating AEW on their great premiere episode.
Yeah, I missed that.
Wow. Yeah, that's never done by Vince McMahon and company.
That's interesting that they did that.
To acknowledge someone else. Yeah, true story.
I mean, I believe you. That's, why do you think they did that?
Because they're scared. That's why. Because they're sweating AEW. And it's not not sweating their roster. They're sweating two things. They're sweating the Turner. Turner and his TV corporation, because Turner wants revenge on WWE.
Yeah.
And they also sweat the Khan's wallet. Okay, because
yeah,
the Khan family
that.
Has more money than the McMahon family.
Yeah.
That's why.
They've got a lot of money.
And the passion that Tony Khan has, man, they're really putting so much effort. This is 7 days a week they're going. I know a lot of people that work there in the front office and stuff like that. They're working real hard, these people, so I'm happy for them.
We got the 3 coming your way next. It's Taz and Moose with you here on this Friday morning. NFL picks coming your way next hour as well, as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio.